You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Monthly Roundtable Show. This is episode 951. We've had some technical troubles already. Spencer's had his camera fall off. We've got some feedback from some of the people, but we will, as troopers, we will just push through the technical problems to bring a fabulous show to you, my beloved tribe. In this week's show, we're going to be talking about Joyce DeVerck and being banned from WordPress, WordCamp Asia. We're going to be talking about MeanKind Uber, amazing story. We got some amazing stories to discuss this month. Got a great panel as well. I'm going to let them introduce themselves. Let's start with our guest panelist, friend of the show, Tom, founder of Conversio, the hosting company. Tom, would you like to introduce yourself to the tribe?
Yes, I would. It's great to be back with the tribe and all of you wonderful hosts, co-hosts, and panelists, whatever your titles are. And I'm Tom with Conversio, and we are a scalable hosting platform for WooCommerce and mission-critical sites. And we also offer payments as well as marketing automation tools for e-commerce.
Yeah, my title, Tom, is idiot. So there we go. I've got my got Mark as well. Mark, would you like to quickly introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, my name is Mark Benzacane, and I'm with MainWP. And next week, we will be celebrating our 11th anniversary. Next year, it will be our 12th. So I can do simple math. So next week we will be doing, it will be our 12th anniversary of being MainWP, which is actually pretty amazing. So, we have a bunch of stuff in store, a bunch of just stuff we're going to be throwing out at everybody to watch and listen to and read. And, we're really excited about it.
So, yeah. It's a fabulous product with a fantastic team. I highly recommend it. So I've also got Spencer. Spencer, would you like to introduce yourself?
It's Spence from WP Launchfy with the Skycam today.
Yes.
Frozen Wrecking.
And I've got my ever patient and helpful co-host, Kurt. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure thing, Jonathan. Kurt Von Annen. I own Manana Nomas, which is a agency primarily focused on membership and learning websites.
Yes, like I say, we've got some fabulous stories here. But before we go into the meat and potatoes of this great show, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers just like you sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent. And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
I'm coming back, folks. Want to point out, we've also got a great resource for the WordPress professional and power user. It's a curated list of the best WordPress plugins and services and resources, plus some great deals from the major sponsors. You can get all these goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals. wp-tonic.com/deals. What more could you ask for, my beloved WordPress professionals and power users? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get from
a dollar.
He always has to interrupt there. He can't even give
Wait, that. Did you notice I held back so that you can cut it properly? I gave it that.
So let's go straight into it. Let's start with one of the biggest stories this month. And a bit of a tickle-tattle, but it was got a lot of interest on X, Twitter. I'm just going to call it Twitter. Joyce DeVert, bang from WordCamp Asia, as Matt Maurer brands him persona non grata, untouchable now. So Mark, what did you think of this story, Mark?
What did I think about this story? Nothing shocks me anymore. That's what I think about this story. You gotta consider, first of all, I think, as I recall, it all started with Matt feeling like they're all threatening to fork it, and he's like, well, fork you, essentially. And then it just turned into this whole ridiculous thing. And, you know, everyone knows and loves Juice, you know, and he's been around forever. And, you know, what was funny was when you think back to when we started the whole Make WordPress and all the different committees, and there was a marketing committee, and first they had Bridget running the marketing, and then she was replaced with Juice. So obviously Matt, you know, was fine with him, was at the time, and now it's turned into this. It's just more chaos in the community, and it's becoming harder and harder to support anything that comes from that direction at this point. That's, you know, my personal opinion once again, and Spencer will step in with all the legalese, I'm sure, but these are my opinions.
Oh, I'm not sure about that. I might have to jump in with the legalese. Actually, I need to point out, my beloved listeners, the opinions of the panel are not mine. And this show is for educational purposes and not in any way factual. Tom, I just want to read out something that was in this article that came from Matt Maurer, a statement from him. I have given him hundreds of hours of my time and more access than almost anybody in the WP community, including admin access to Google Analytics, marketing leadership positions, and more. This was a betrayal, Mark Werig wrote, referring to DeVerg's former role as WordPress marketing lead. To me, that capsulizes everything wrong with WordPress in some ways. What's your own thoughts about this, Tom?
Well, I am glad that you actually brought this. I do want to talk about this particular aspect of this, but I've got a really awesome non-political position here. When I read this, the only thing that I felt was, you know, Matt feels betrayed by someone that he said he trusted greatly. That's a hard thing.
Yeah, on a personal level, yeah. On a personal level, it's totally understandable, isn't it?
Yeah, and that was what, like, when I read this, even like the, I mean, I know there's probably turmoil in, I don't know, maybe there's turmoil based on Matt's comments of like encouraging people to fork WordPress, then, you know, but it's like maybe not these people, not Kareem, you know, and not Deval. And it's like, I don't know. I felt like, man, there's a lot of long standing relationships here that are.
Well, can I just butt in for a second? I'm not trying to be rude, but I'm going to put it this way. I'm not on the Christmas list for Joyce DeVerg because I had a falling out with him a couple of years ago about editorial decision I made of a story that he didn't find very nice. And in some ways I was amazed with his statements because in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, he's been up Matt's arse so far that he actually came out of Matt's mouth. It was surprising that he chose. But on the other hand, everything he said seemed rather reasonable to me. He's public statement about how he saw how WordPress org should be administered and organized. It didn't seem anything outrageous, but I was still surprised. So I butted in, haven't I, Tom? I apologize.
No, it's fine. I just, I think you're totally right. And I think what you're seeing is the relationship side of people that have had longstanding relationships with Matt, where there's this connection and bond of feeling there's loyalty, to also these people balancing the idea of like the greater good of the ecosystem, the platform, and, you know, the fact that we're now seeing that trust and loyalty is at odds with the decision making that those people think should be made. And I would just say that, like, you know, not having come under a lot of like public scrutiny or fire myself, because I try to be not super controversial, I'm sure it's weighing on Matt, and it weighs on these people. Like, I do know Kareem, decently, and it's like, I'm sure, you know, it weighs on him, right? And so it's an unfortunate perspective that is the emotional side of this that I was gravitated to in that whole article.
Yeah. So, Spencer, what did you make of this?
I mean, like Tom suggested, I actually try to stay as much away from the drama now this year in 2025 as I can, because
I think you haven't done a very good job based on your statements last month. You didn't do a good job on it.
So here's what I think is relevant to some of us who've been around for a while. So, like, mommy and daddy are fighting, and the kids are like, I'm going to go play in the yard because I don't want to be around it. But eventually mommy and daddy start throwing stuff and lighting the kitchen on fire, and, like, I don't know, it's some kind of soap opera, right? At that point, it's really difficult to just sit idly by and do nothing. And in this particular case, my own personal experience is that, you know, when this all started, I made my comments here mostly and elsewhere. And as many of you know, I had the chance to talk to Mullenweg to his face and give him a chance in public to talk about his behavior. This was before the legal meltdown, the WP Engine stuff. This was just, I can't even remember what it was about at the time, but it was like he was upset about other things we were complaining about him. So he's clearly for some time had this issue, which it must be very difficult to be a public persona when you don't want to be, right? Like, I don't want anybody saying shit about me because I would just rather not be known. But here's the problem. The problem is every single opportunity that he's given by the grace of the people in the community, can you please knock it off? Can you please stop fighting with mommy? Can you please just calm down? Can you please go back? Can you apologize? Can they apologize? Can anybody just work it out so we can just get back? He doubles, triples, quadruples down on the victim. At the same time, taking his ice pick and stabbing other people in the back publicly or otherwise with the things that he says. So now, unfortunately, what I was referring to is that the legal cases have perpetuated and gone on to the point where results are coming out. The bill is coming due for his actions, and it's going to be painful. It's not because I want him to have bad things happening. I've been saying all along to him publicly, would you knock it off? Would you please come down to earth? But he keeps doing silly stuff. He still has his goons out there, and he himself is directly behind it. Everybody can see it because he admits to it, kicking people out of the community, like our good old pals. I'm kicked out of the community now. For things that were completely 2 minutes after two months ago's show, like 2 minutes after that, kicked out, 18 years down the toilet.
Well, it isn't really surprising, is it? Your comments from last month.
But the thing is, we're not kicked out of the community because, see, the part
I like to point out to you, I received a lot of hate because of those comments, Spencer.
I'm sure. But the thing is, there's nothing that I said. Somebody brought to my attention yesterday, he kicked me out of the community, or one of his goons did, after 18 years for nothing. But he still has me on Twitter, so he directly tweeted something to me, and I responded, and apparently somebody picked it up and put it on Reddit, which is, when will you guys stop picking on me? And I said something to the effect of, when you stop acting destructively to yourself and the community. And that's where I stand today. I say, Matt, if there's still an ounce of common sense left in you, turn the truck around and be contrite about it. Not like begging for somebody, you know, to do stuff, but like just contrite. Okay, sorry, it shouldn't have gone this far. Let's fix it. But now you're just like being a dick in public at the same time acting like a victim, and nobody believes you're a victim anymore. And for me, I kind of like the fact now that there's people who have come out with class actions, because his consequences really affected people downstream, especially WP Engine customers or plugin customers, or people who felt like this community was going to be like value laden for them to bring clients into. And the clients said, I've been hearing about this crazy stuff. I don't want to have any part of it. So that's it. I mean, right now, I honestly don't try to spend my days thinking or talking about Matt, because what he has demonstrated is that he's completely, completely neutered as far as anything that he could do to ultimately take down WordPress, because there are enough people now he's freaked out or kicked out that they've made backups and whatever else he's going to do. What is he going to do? I mean, the software is open source. It's just more drama.
So, Kirk, I've been thinking about this, and I think one of the things is I think Matt is extremely passionate about this and extremely sees it as his life works. And when he came on our show together for the interview, he is obvious that he's extremely passionate about it. And the core of his argument has some shocking is the right word, but validity is that there is a lot of open source projects out there, and they are crucial for a larger technical environment, and they are grossly underfunded. So he's one of the things why he got upset is that he feels major hosting companies who are getting all the benefits of WordPress aren't really contributing. And I think there's a plausible element of logic to his argument, right? I think the problem with it was the way that he went around in trying to enforce that or influence it, to say that it's been damaging and damaging to himself, damaging to WordPress, damaging to the community would be the understatement of the year. Well, how would you respond, Kurt?
I'm not going to amplify myself as being some kind of, you know, great seeing empath or something like that. But I think of this quite often. Like, what would it really look like to be in Matt's shoes? And to me, I see his position almost like being, you know, someone that starts a small church, and then that church does a building fund, and then they have a big building, and then they become one church in many places, simulcasting all over the state or whatever. And what typically happens is, as that organization grows, you have the founding pastor, right? But then you have this board, right? You have the elders or whatever you call them, and everyone starts to get an opinion, and everyone begins to volunteer more time. And as they volunteer that time, they adopt a sense of ownership about that church, but it's not official ownership. They're just part of a volunteer committee. And I think what happens over time is they start to peck away at the leader, and they say, we wish the church would go in this direction. We wish the church would go in that direction. And then it becomes this fight for, hey, I founded this thing. I started this church. It's my church. And that's not the way church was ever intended. And I think when I look at that in WordPress speak, I think Matt's at the top of the chain going, this is my thing. I made this. I gave it to everybody. It's mine. And all these people that have volunteered and put in all this time and have what they consider a stake of ownership in this thing are like, but I think we're going in the wrong direction, and we need to do this, this, and this instead. And he's going, you are trying to take over, and it's mine. And I really feel like maybe it's overreacting, but to me, it's a shame that it's all been public, and it's really damaged
the middle players. I'm a middle player, right? Like I'm an agency. End users don't care. My customers, my clients, even my enterprise level clients, they don't even seem to care. I have a client on WP Engine. I said, hey, did you get the emails? Yeah. Did you? Yeah. My website still works. I don't care. Right. Like they, but for us in the middle, it's been a pretty painful experience.
Yeah. I think that's a good summary. And we just have to see. I personally don't like banning people, you know, or because just, you know, unfortunately, I'm going to say something that has. It's become very politicized because of the language, but I believe in having as much free speech as possible with restraints, you know, legal restraints and common sense restraints. You can't allow, in my opinion, you can't allow people to say whatever they want. That's not, but on the other hand, banning people, throwing people out, or
can we just call it what it is too? Because you're saying it, but you're not saying it, but I know what you're saying is, if we looked at what was going on just on the legal basis, any proper CEO in 2024, 23 could have simply filed a lawsuit, done a press release objectively, and let the court system work its way out. Instead, what happened was childish retributive behavior, things like pineapple pizza check boxes, and are you friends with these people? Yes or no, you can't participate. Kicking people out of the community. Like Morten Rand Hendrickson hasn't even been posting anything in 6 years, gets kicked out of WordPress. I mean, it's just childish. And so the whole point of this is that either you use the legal system and you use the norms of society and business, or you don't. But if you don't, it's not fair or realistic to be upset when it comes back to bite you, because that's why that's needed.
Yeah, but you're talking about a rational situation.
I can't hear your mic.
Now you can't hear me at all.
How about now? Is that
your volume's a bit
low? How's this?
Yes.
Better. Okay. You're talking about a rational situation. And this is not rational. And I think that what we're dealing with is kind of a true believer situation, which, you know, Matt is a true believer in what he's saying. And when you're a true believer, you're compelled to act the way you do. You don't really get to control your actions. And so I kind of feel like that's what we're dealing with. And to Kurt's point of the church metaphor, that's true. But if you are the leader of a church and what you've built around you is an echo chamber for a number of years, then you believe what the echo chamber is telling you. And then when all of a sudden someone from outside the echo chamber says something different, it's a shock to the system. And I think that's also what we're dealing with. But that doesn't make it right. It's just, you know, it's kind of the why where we're at. It's not the justification for where we're at. I'm going to try switching an input here in a second.
I think you made some great points there. I think we've had a good discussion. It's taken up most of the first half. We've got a couple of great stories for the second half. We've got a fabulous second story. We'll be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS. the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. We've had consistent technical troubles during the show, but we've managed to soldier through them. But before we go into the second half of the show, I want to point out, if you're looking for a great hosting partner and you're looking to build a membership community-focused website on WordPress and you're a power user, why don't you look at building it on WP Tonic? We've got some fantastic packages. Go over to wp-tonic.com. So, on to, this is just a mind-blowing story. It covers everything at the beginning of 2025, the madness that we find. It's just a delicious story. And that's the meme coin Libya. This meme coin that was publicized by the president of Argentina, Milei, and started really, in my opinion, the leading conspirator, Hayden Davis. He goes on CoffeeZilla to have an interview and basically, in my opinion, admits security fraud. It's just a delicious story. So, Spencer, what do you make of this story? It's I didn't know what sniping was until I started delving into this whole world. But it's just delicious, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm going to be watching a movie that slipped by in 2002 or 3 called The Laundromat. And it has like Meryl Streep and a bunch of other big name actors. It's about a different type, but a similar type of fraud. I say fraud because crypto by itself is not fraudulent, but the idea of these like launching meme coins by itself is rife with all these problems where the insiders essentially have all the control. They get everybody to follow them in there and then they dump, or the snipers are the ones that are able to get in just at the moment when everything's going up, ride it to the top, get off. Everybody else falls to the bottom. The Hawktua girl and the Trump coin. The first of all, there's that. The second problem is, and this, our world is so fucked. There's no way we're going to do this right now. But like the fact that political leaders, starting in the United States, are selling merchandise and meme coins is just incomprehensible. Like, I don't know how anybody can possibly have faith in a system where the leader of the modern free world is selling meme coins, let alone Argentina, which has had its, you know, history of all kinds of weird stuff. But this is not a cautionary tale. This is just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And it doesn't mean that crypto is ridiculous. It means these, like, there's a company, I don't know what the name of it is, something like Push Pop or something. You can launch your own crypto coin today. Yeah. Like any of us could. It's just, it's the modern.
I'm thinking about doing it myself, actually, after the show, actually. But no.
I mean, I just feel it's an exemplification of what's wrong with our society right now is that I don't think the world ever was without criminals or fraud or insider dealings or corrupt officials in government. But now you've got these levers. Like, really? You're going to just print a virtual currency, generate $50-100 million, and then disappear overnight and nobody's going to say anything about it? Oh, by the way, you're running the United States or another country in the globe. Bizarre.
Yeah. Tom, one of the things that attracted me to this story was the cultural element. I'm gonna sound very old, because I am to some degree. It's like one of the main organizer, Hayden Davis, and his family, in my opinion, it seems to me that his whole family are involved in this. And he goes on one of the biggest YouTube channels that covers cryptocurrency, crypto schemes and financial shenanigans, CoffeeZilla. And he has an in-depth interview and he just blatantly admits that he's the chief sniper of this meme coin and he's bagged $100 million. And he makes out and he just admits on a YouTube channel to finance. And it seems to me like it's a millennial Gen Z thing that in some ways they don't even understand the shit that they're in or they don't even care. Am I making any sense, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think there's a few dynamics in this story, right? So, I mean, Hayden Davis did come out and say that is the people's money. So, I mean, we'll see. Where is it, right? I mean, where is the $100 million right now? And I also think, though, there's never a shortage of people trying to get rich quick. This whole message of like cryptocurrency really has embodied this idea of trying to hack yourself rich overnight, right? Like that, it's like the gold rush, right? It's like all the people that went to California and went through all this stuff to their, it's like the same type of thing that you're having with this. The problem is it is about a million times more complex to understand cryptocurrency and all of these various things. And, you know, if you don't have a handle on how it all works, you can literally, your money can vanish. You know, so it's one of these things where I do think it's the intersection of, yes, there's a Gen Z thing going on with it culturally. There's, you know, the idea of it being this get rich quick thing. There's this idea that it's like super complicated and technical. And there's this idea that there are people seeing this going, wow, we could use this for good. Right. So it's like the intersection of all of this stuff makes it extremely complicated and very high risk.
I think that's fantastically put, Tom. Mark, to me, in my opinion, this is a conspiracy because I think inherently meme coins don't have any value. And as long as you make it clear, that's just totally a fun thing, really. But I think basically the impression I get with the articles I've read is that they purposely got themselves close to some of the top individuals in Argentina and influenced these people in what way we cannot say. But they engrossed themselves with a certain group that were very close to the president of Argentina, who has a track record of promoting these type of schemes. And they did this on purpose because to actually launch a successful meme coin, you need either high visible influencers or you need some credibility transferred to your launch for it to get any initial traction. And I think there's a spread of people that put their money into this initially. You could say these are all the kind of crypto types, and they knew what they were getting involved in. But I also think there was a load of other people that were more naive, and this is why they engrossed themselves with this small group of people that influenced Milei, and it was all planned. So I see it as a financial conspiracy myself. What do you think? Oh, he's gone. They're cutting off.
Sorry, I hit the wrong. Do I sound better?
Yes, you do.
All right. So what it boils down to is I won't use that setup anymore, and I'll use this one. it's interesting to me because what I remember back in the early 2000s, when I'm kind of, for me, looking at crypto and looking at the stock market, you know, there are some similarities. And I remember back in the early 2000s, When the internet became big and TD Waterhouse went online, and there were all these people that were what we called pump and dumps, right? So you'd get these influencers that would go out. We didn't call them influencers back then, but that's essentially what they were. They'd go out and they'd say, I'm a stock trading expert. You need to buy this penny stock. You need to buy it today, you know, and they'd, because they had a certain amount of following, it would drive the price up, and then they'd make a bunch of money and they'd dump it, and then the price would go down. And I think that that's kind of what we're seeing now, because since the early 2000s, things have gotten more regulated in the stock market. I have myself not attempted to get rich quick, but, you know, played a little bit in the crypto markets using the same techniques that I use to read charts in stock trading. And let me tell you, it doesn't work. So right now, I think that what we're dealing with is the early days of the pump and dumpers. It's just a much broader audience. And so things happen on a much broader scale. It's if you look at the amount of access that people have now to the number of people that they have the access to, it's a lot easier to take something, a meme coin that you know that you're going to just make a few bucks on really quick, you know, create the coin, get the traction because you've got a high profile individual backing it, you know, make your money and get out. And they don't really care if a few people ride the coattails along the way, as long as they're getting their, you know, their big chunk. Do I think it's a grand conspiracy? I don't
know. It's not a grand conspiracy. Yeah. It's been saying that, Mark. I think it is a conspiracy, isn't it?
I think that it's a conspiracy. I'd go as far as to say it's a conspiracy by default, but I don't know that it's that organized.
Oh, well. So, Kurt, what's your own thoughts? Because it's good.
I wanted to interject one thing about that, too, which is we can also never underestimate, because this is a political, there's a political factor to this, like, the media influence of like either twisting it, spinning it in one direction or another, or like inflating the, like some of this, the stuff that's come out is like, we don't just know, like people are just jumping to conclusions about it because they're anti-Malay, right? So we can never underestimate that layer of interpretation on this.
Yeah, that's true. So Kurt, you know, what surprises me though, like, or maybe I'm being naive here, is that the whole crypto bro community, they really don't really in any shape or form care about criminality. It seems to be baked into this whole community to some degree, acceptance of criminality, of sniping, the whole language, the whole culture. But and so in some ways, well, they get what they deserve. But I think there's a lot of other people in the third world or people in Argentina that gets, because they're desperate. So they're looking for any way to get their money out of a country or a currency that's declining. So I think there are some real victims here. Or am I just deluded? They're just all just crypto bros, basically.
Well, if anything, Jonathan, I would say that you understated the victim side of it. People talk about these dollar amounts like it's not a lot of money, right? But you have to remember, $100 million to a lot of us is a lot of freaking money. You know, people are commenting about the USAID stuff and saying, well, that's only 1% of our total budget as a country, you know, and it's like, and they're like, so these are just small accounts. These are just small. You know, that was $64 billion. That's just a small account. And I'm like, $64 billion split up among 300 million citizens. That's a lot of money coming out of my pocket. Like, I think there's a huge disconnect with these numbers that people don't understand what the numbers even represent or what they are. And I think that that disconnect has created that heightened criminality. Because of that disconnect, they don't realize the actual impact on the individual, and it just becomes a non-emotional, you know, reflective kind of a thing. And there's a certain amount of anonymity attached to the whole blockchain scenario where people think they're just going to get away with it anyway.
Well, I did get that impression by the people that were running this particular meme coin, and they might be right. You know, my understanding of the little research I did, that the company Chrysler Ventures, which is the entity, company entity, is registered in Delaware. You know, Hayden Davis and his family are US citizens. Obviously, this was all done outside the US. I have no idea about the legal consequences when you launch something that affects a foreign country. I understand that a particular law or statute that covered US citizens that were involved in external financial schemes is not the law anymore. So I really don't know if there's going to be any consequences. Probably not. Who knows? Depends on who lost their money.
All it takes is a portion of that $100 million to be used for political donations, and it all goes away and we all forget about it because the news cycle is just that quick.
It just depends on if some of the people in Argentina lost their money are the type of people that you don't really want to lose their money, if you know what I mean. So let's go on to the next story, something more cheerful than this. But Enterprise chooses WordPress for their CMS, cited better functionality, and WordPress sentiment defies X drama or Twitter drama remain strong across platforms. So what do you think, Tom? You know, because all this drama and that, it only really affects those power users, professionals in the WordPress. But a lot of agencies, a lot of businesses, they don't really care about all this anyway. So what's your own... Do you think they're right in that it hasn't really affected WordPress, really?
Yeah, I actually was super excited when I read the State of Enterprise for WordPress. Awesome report. Lots of just amazing good stuff in there. We see this because like we've been squarely in the mid-market to enterprise space for a while, but we are really seeing an uptick in people doing more complex setups, more advanced functionality, all of that type of stuff. And so this is one of these things where I was very encouraged by this report. I think this bodes really well for continued strength and a solid foundation in enterprise for WordPress. And I think this is going to be an area WordPress can really differentiate because the level of flexibility, functionality, customization, compatibility with other things you're integrating to, extensibility, it's killer. And it has a huge community behind it. So I think we're going to see a trend where WordPress is getting more and more and more in the enterprise space, for sure. And any of this drama is like for the 10%ers of us that are super involved in the community. Most people are like, you know, Matt who, WP Engine who, unless you use them. So, you know, I don't think this has any much effect on the day-to-day of these serious businesses.
Well, I've got to be honest with you. I know this sounds ridiculous because I chose the first story and we spent the whole first half of the show discussing it. But in some ways, I'm a bit bored with the whole thing. But as a monthly news roundtable show, I felt I had to discuss it. But part of me is a bit bored with it, to be quite truthful. But what do you, before I throw it over to the other panelists, what do you think of some of the drives? So you agree with the tenets of these two articles. Have you rationalized in your own mind what are the drivers of this?
Yeah, I think one of the things that, like, I've witnessed this because, like a lot of the panels here, I mean, I've been in the tech space and WordPress and websites since the 90s, okay? So I believe there is a maturity of the market that happens. And I tell this story, like, when I first started building websites, no one could figure out how to configure an email client to get email on their computers. You'd pop servers and SMTP servers and passwords and ports. People's minds would blow up. And I swore, I was like, I'd build websites for people and I'd have to spend hours trying to get them to get themselves connected to their email. That's not a thing anymore. The market's moved on. It's matured.
Are you sure of that? It's tough. Okay. Is there, we try to avoid it at WP Tonic, not the plague if we can. So,
and yet printers still don't work.
But here's the thing, right? You have a army of PHP developers and WordPress developers that are maturing. They're starting to realize the market's maturing. People are moving up market. They're realizing the worth of the work that they do. They're like, okay, websites aren't $500 anymore for like serious businesses. You have to invest in these things. Websites are becoming more integral to businesses with stores or memberships or communities. And so people are investing in them. And those businesses that started 5-10 years ago, they were doing 5K a month when they started. They're doing 500K a month now, 5 million a month. And so they're investing more. And it's this evolution of the market using the tool they love, they know, and the ecosystem that supports it.
So, Mark, what do you think are some of the drivers? Do you agree with what Tom has just said? And got any other thoughts about what might be some of the drivers?
I actually agree with Tom 100% on every single thing he just said, and surprisingly don't have a lot to add to that, other than I also too remember configuring email clients. Even when you set it up right, it didn't work half the time. So
it's black magic. So Spencer, what's your own thoughts? First of all, do you agree with the sentiments in these two articles? And secondly, if you do, what do you think also are some of the drivers?
I mean, I think you guys summed that up really well. For once, I would say I don't have much to add other than the fact that I feel like the optimism level for me on WordPress is high because of this whole transformation of where businesses are going to go. All this drama, to me, clears the way for people to think more specifically about what they're getting themselves into instead of some pretense that daddy is going to come along and stop fighting with mommy and rescue all of us. We're going to rescue ourselves by just acting like normal people. I could throw one last thing on because I didn't say anything. I'm not like Yoast's fan either. I'm always confused as to the difference between the company name and Juice, but like, I think that his stepping forward was something that I had talked about a couple of years ago. Like, we needed a committee. I think people in the business community have to do that. Like, if it's not him, somebody else or a group of people. And business to business, Tom and I and Kurt and I and Mark and I haven't directly yet, but like, to talk about business to business in WordPress is the most intelligent thing ever, because as the ecosystem, a framework, there's nothing comparable. It's just not going to come from anything that daddy top down gives to anybody. We have to just deal with it on our own. And that's also with the publicity part. Clients have to understand that we figured it out for ourselves and it's reliable and you can, you know, do the things.
Also, I personally, I don't know if I'm right about this. I might be totally wrong. I normally am. I think there's a whole host of mediums classified as small, but what is small, you know, any company's got more than 50 people. I don't actually classify them as small, but they are. But in like between 1 million to, let's say, 10 million, there's a host of companies that had websites, internal applications, custom code applications, and they're hitting a technical wall. They're hitting poor support, poor service, and they're looking around and they've been bitten a bit about this pure custom coding solutions, and they're looking for a middle ground where they're not, that they have access to a larger developer community that is a mature platform, but they're not entrapped in a totally customized solution. Is this, what do you reckon, Kurt? Is that making sense? Do you think I might be on the right track?
My internal cogs and my brain are combining Tom's comments and your comments, Jonathan. Our target at Mañana No Más is really pivoted to an enterprise solution, but that's because our niche is e-learning. And so when you take a look at what the enterprise world has been going through,
they've been getting price gouged from agencies like, I'm going to make you a custom thing hard-coded in Oracle or COBOL or C++ or AS400. And then they need a tech team in-house. They need all, and this expense and this runaway kind of rabbit trail thing just gets crazy at the enterprise level expense-wise. And so when you can come in as WordPress has matured, to Tom's point, you can come in now and you can say, hey, you know, we can do a CRM that's completely functional. We can do an LMS for you that's completely functional. We can support your marketing messages on a website that's stable, that's customizable, that does all these things. And if we take a look at your combined spend on these five different websites you've been supporting at $1.7 million a year, we can get this going for you for 150, 200 grand a year. And they go, oh my God, I can't believe it's so cheap. And as an agency, you're going, oh my God, I can't believe I'm making this margin. Right. It's to me, WordPress has become the perfect marriage of all of these plugins and options that we have if we dedicate ourselves to problem solving with clients to fit those needs.
And totally agree with this. And the only thing I would say that's a risk in this space, you still have a lot of people who are horrible developers in WordPress. Like, honestly, like the thing that Kurt just talked about is you got to have an agency that knows how to do that well. Otherwise, you've got a dumpster fire on your hands. And we see this a lot where people come to us with their burning trash bin and they're like, can you guys fix this? That is like, you know, it's like having a consortium of people who understand this is just really, really important because, you know, it is a super powerful platform, but there's no guardrails, right? So it's like you can do bad things with it.
I want to say, Tom and I talk about, Tom deals, and I don't want to speak for you, but like at the systems platform hosting level, which I was very happy. We talked about it and I ended up doing something similar, but like I was very happy to divest myself of because there's 600 hosts in WordPress. And there's like four of you guys that are doing it properly. The rest are like a school bus that they got at the junkyard trying to jam kids into the back.
Well, I hope you're not placing WP Tonic in that. Quickly. Oh, yeah, because you're pushing it.
There are people who understand the modern WordPress hosting for what it really has to be, which gets to my side where I feel like curating a set of features from a certain developer set, maybe including myself, is critical. Because today we have an abundance of bad stuff and it only takes one of those, two of those to screw up the whole thing to the point where it becomes unmanageable. Like I always say, you go to IKEA because you're going to buy stuff from IKEA and everything's perfect. As soon as you try to carve a chair out of a tree and stick it into the IKEA ecosystem, nothing works right. And that's the metaphor where WordPress's freedoms come at that cost unless you have somebody who's willing to take ownership of the ecosystem. But unlike in the past, I don't think it should be done where those all get white labeled into one thing, because that was a mistake that I think it was Brian Gardner and a couple other publishing people did years ago. I can't remember it, but they tried to like white label it all into one box. That's a mistake too.
Yeah, I forgot the name of.
No, this is going to bother me all day now. I knew the name of that thing.
But it was with the two clerks, as I call them. I don't know what you want to do. I don't know if you can. Any of you can stay on and discuss a couple of these other stories, or do you want to call it a day around now? Panel, and let you decide. But I'm going to wrap up the podcast part of the show because I know one or two of the pans have to be off. So I'm going to start with Kirk. So, Kirk, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
For business, mañananomas.com. And that'll get you everything you need to know about me and Mañana Nomas on X and all those things. If you want to reach out personally, I'm on LinkedIn. I'm the only Kurt Von Annen on LinkedIn, so I'm easy to find.
And Mark, what's the best way for people to find out more about you?
Oh, yep.
I am also on LinkedIn, and I'm the only Mark Benskane on LinkedIn. So that works out. And I'm on Twitter, Mark Benzak, and that's Mark with a C. I'm also on Blue Sky, and you can find me doing a lot around Maine WP, which is where I spend a lot of my days. So that's it.
And you've got lovely sound there. Look, it's delicious.
Okay, so
it's delicious.
Down to the most basic setup is the one to use. So, all right. No more messing around.
The sound is delicious now, Tom.
Yeah.
And Mark, she's like, Tom, what's the best way for the people to find you? What you up to?
Convesio.com. You can chat in. I'm usually around. T. Finelli on the socials. And you can always email me at tom@convesio.com.
And I want to, Tom's support and friendship has been much welcomed. And they're great. If you're in the enterprise level, they're a great hosting partner. Highly recommended.
Thank you.
And Spencer, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
WPLaunchFi.com or on socials at Spencer Foreman. Not sure where I got laryngitis today.
Yeah. So I don't know if we're going to do bonus content. I let the panel. We got a couple more stories on the list, but if we do the bonus content, you'll find the whole interview plus the bonus content on the WP YouTube channel, which is growing rapidly, I might say, which I'm very happy with. I put a lot of work into it. We will be back next week with another great interview, either from WordPress or the world of Bootstrap SaaS. And at the end of next month, we have our roundtable show again. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye. So do you want to continue for a little while, the panel?
We had all the anniversary stuff that I'm in the weeds on. So yeah.
Oh well, fair enough. I thought we had a great discussion.
Spencer, it's good to see you, man. I miss you.
I miss you guys too. I hope you guys are doing well. I hope we can catch up a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, sure. For next month, in case I forget my setup, just tell me plug directly into my
computer. Well, he sounds fantastic now.
Yeah. Plug directly into my computer and using Firefox. Okay. So that's all you need to remind me next time.
I got to do a redo of my Stream Deck the same way stuff is falling off. But I think if you reset your connections, you'll be fine.
All right. See you later, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.